Welcome to the Shipping Podcast, a multi-fandom podcast for the shipper in you. Hosted by Shirazade, your friendly mod, OTP shipper, and fandom old. In episode 17, we revisit another fandom. This time we're looking at Boku no Hero Academia from the perspective of Aida, who ships previous podcast object, Bakugou Katsuki, with Kirishima Eijuru, and shares some of the reasons why she loves how their relationship develops in canon, as well as plenty of fanworks for you to enjoy. But what's a ship, you might ask? It's an abbreviation for relationship, and can be used as a noun or verb. I ship Kirk / Spock, or my favorite ship is Spirk, meaning you would like to see Star Trek's Kirk and Spock as a couple. And in the latter case, you're using one of the popular ship names, smushing their names together, in a way that can be cutesy or cringy, depending on your point of view. However, this podcast will be zero judgment, 100% squee, as fans talk about their ships, why they ship them, and which fanworks might make you ship them too. At the end, each guest will nominate the next fan to talk about their OTP, that's one true pairing, i.e. the ship they love the most, creating a multi-ship, multi-fandom chain of interviews. Het, i.e. straight couples, / meaning same-sex pairings, fictional characters, or even real people. The only limit is the imagination. Does that sound like something you might enjoy? Please give it a listen and let me know what you think. The Shipping Cast is hosted on shippingcast.fandomish.net. That's fandomish.net, where you can find show notes and subscribe on various podcasting platforms. There's also a Tumblr at shippingcast, a Twitter at shipping_cast, or you can email me on theshippingcast@fandomish.net, where you could also send me a recorded voice message for inclusion in a future show. I'm very open to questions and opinions about the ships we talk about, or shipping in general, so please get in touch. I very much enjoy making this podcast, but I've had to start paying for pro accounts, so I set up a Patreon on patreon.com/shippingcast, in addition to the Ko-fi and PayPal links, which you can find on shippingcast.fandomish.net/support. Would you like me to record some episodes that cover more general aspects of fandom instead of being limited to ships? One of the Patreon perks is special episodes, and you can even vote on the topics. A note in advance. As mentioned before, this podcast is a judgment-free zone. My guests are here to share what they love, not to defend themselves. We ship and let ship here, and any flames, i.e. hateful messages, will be used to roast marshmallows, to use old-school fandom lingo. This expression dates me, I know. I'm actually 38, and I've been writing fanfiction since I hit puberty. However, I only joined online fandom in 2001, which was also when I started writing fic in English. My native language is Swiss German, in case you're wondering, and I have the equivalent of an MA in Cultural Anthropology, Media Studies and German Literature. These days I work an admin job in the renewable energy sector, and I spend my free time consuming media in the form of books, movies, TV shows and podcasts. I find fandom fascinating, not just as a creative outlet in the form of writing, reading and gifting, but as a cultural phenomenon. I hope I'm not the only one who loves to hear people talk about their passions, and there's few things fans are more passionate about than their ships. The ship that we focus on in each episode is clearly stated in the title, so if you think that a ship will cause you distress or anger, please skip the episode. It's also quite likely that there'll be spoilers, so in the immortal words of River Song...
Spoilers...
Every time I get the chance to talk to different shippers, I'm only confirmed in my belief in everyone's right to ship whatever they want to. This time's no different, since the Kiribaku ship is quite unlike Bakudeku, which we covered all the way back in episode 6, yet no less appealing, depending on the kind of relationship you enjoy. But judge for yourself as we dive right in.
I took a trip on a great big ship to a land across the sea, to a land across the sea, the sea, the sea, the sea.
Hi, Aida.
Hi.
How nice of you to join me.
Thank you for having me.
On this nice summer day.
Very warm for you. Yes, it's
yes.
Lovely. Lots of party outside. The entire town is having a party because it's summer. It's, yeah. So that's great. But yeah, let me know if you can hear too much noise. Otherwise, it should be, I'm ready for
It sounds fine. It sounds fine, yeah.
Oh, wonderful.
And why don't you introduce yourself?
Oh, my name is Aida, and I'm sometimes known as Zera, or just my usernames, which is on Twitter, is Zerazukin, and then Zerachin on Tumblr, which I don't use a lot, but it's still like where I put up my art, so that's where you can find me. I'm a character animator and an illustrator, but I just also just call myself a fan artist because that's what you will see the most of. So that's me. I live in Denmark.
Vera, it's nice and cool, as you told me.
Yes, right now it is, but the sun's out on my end of the house, so it's going to get warm.
And you were nominated by Mia.
Yes,
How
Mia.
How do you know her?
Oh, this is years and years. I think I've known Mia since either 2000, it must have been since like 2010 or something, because I got into comics, and she was one of the people who really introduced me to the Bat Family, I would say. Bat Family and Young Avengers, that's where like all of us were for a little while, like for a couple of years, that was a thing. Mm-hmm. And then like the comics industry got too messy, too complicated, New 52, all kinds of shit happened. So we just kind of like kept communicating because we liked the same kind of things, or she would recommend something to me, or I would recommend something to her. So we've been friends for quite a while.
Cool.
So yeah, she just like spontaneously, I don't know where, was like, do you want to do a podcast for a ship? And it's just like, which ship? Boku no Hero. Oh, so Kiribaku. Okay. And yeah, it just sounded fun, so I thought I'd say yes.
Yeah, so she picked the fandom for you.
I guess she did, because I thought there was like maybe you had asked her, like, do you know anyone who likes this ship or something? Because I understood it. Okay, that's really cool. I'm gonna find that to her later. But I had no idea. Like, she was just like, do you want to talk about Kiribaku on this podcast? I was like, sure. I love them, of course.
But she must have just gone through, like, in her head through her friends, and like, so who of them is like a shipper?
Oh yeah, I'm definitely there.
Okay,
I've been such a fan of them for so long now. Mm-hmm. I don't even know how long, but just ridiculous. So yeah, I can see why she would. And like, she isn't as strongly a shipper of this as I am, so that must have really left an impression.
And so what's your fandom background?
I don't know how far to go back. Like, I think since I was like early teens, that's where the internet also started being easier to use for nerds and stuff. So I just hung out on the internet a lot, started having like internet friends who got me into tried to get me into some anime stuff, because I already liked anime. I watched a lot of it in German. Mm-hmm. You're Austrian, right?
No, yes. Swiss.
Do you remember RTL 2 and all these like German channels who did a shitload of anime?
Yeah, I never watched it, but yeah, I remember.
That's what I had. That's where I started. Oh, like, yeah. And I was like, suddenly I can speak to people about this. Mm-hmm. It was very nuts. So that's where like it really like began, and then somehow I just kept being in these fandom groups, and like it kept developing, and I found new things to like, and just like I kept enjoying it and finding new things to read, because I really like reading. And at the same time, I was developing an interest in like a more serious interest in art, and like the fandom community and fan art community is like crazy, so it really like changed me as a teen, for the better, I would say. Because I was kind of lonely as well, because like it was just around the time where internet was like getting to be a thing. Mm-hmm. So there was a long time where I in school wouldn't feel very like connected with people. So that did change and help a lot, which was very fun.
Yeah, it's always wonderful to know that you are not the only weirdo out there.
Yeah, and I grew up in a little town where there's just like, I was also one of few foreigners and the only non-Danish person in class, so I already felt a little bit weird. So there's like a lot of little things that make you feel a little bit outside of the norm. Then you find friends, and then you're like, oh, I should get into this. And I remember one of the first ships that someone tried to get me into was the main characters from Gravitation.
Okay.
Do you remember their name?
I never watched... If it's anime, you can assume that I haven't seen it.
Okay, but that was like the first yaoi thing that was easy to find. Okay. And everybody was crazy about it. And I was just like, not very impressed, but I really did like the dad character in the show. So my friends made me cosplay him because I had long blonde hair at the time. So I was just him while they were playing the couple.
Okay.
So that was weird. But I remember, like, that was one of my first, like, experiences with, like, a fandom and going to a convention mm-hmm. and, like, telling my parents I'm going to visit some people that they don't know who is. It was insane. So, like, I really grew up alongside that.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, it's just been kept going. So here I am.
Yeah.
Still shifting along.
Has it been mostly anime fandoms or also others?
I would say yes, mostly that, but I had that long period of, or not long, but like an intense period of superhero mm-hmm. stuff. And then also whatever TV show that I could get into, because I'm also like one of those pirate kids who just tried to find anything mm-hmm. to watch, so I would find TV shows mm-hmm. as well. But right now, I think mostly it's been anime because it's been the easiest to find. But I was also like into Glee at one point, I remember. That was wild. But very satisfying in its own way. So yeah, I think it's mostly anime.
Yeah, and do you usually like latch onto one ship or do you multi-ship?
Mostly multi-ship mm-hmm. because it's so fun and everybody has amazing ideas or something else. And I do also have a proclivity for a rare pair or like mm-hmm. something weird. Like if there's two characters that have bond over like one stupid ass thing, I'm just like, wow, they should be together forever or something like that. Sometimes it's just like very stupid. And then other times I just really like the best friends trope, like or just like best friends becoming mm-hmm. lovers trope. Either one
yes.
makes it really like appealing to me because mm-hmm. I think that's so sweet. So yeah, it just like it just keeps happening that way. So I think I would just call myself a multi-shipper mm-hmm. and then if you sell me something, I will try it. I think the weirdest one I remember right now is Sid and Andy from Toy Story series. Someone wrote an insane fucking fan fiction. I don't remember the name of it, but it was so intense and I loved it, and like I'll never forget that someone made me like that. I hope there's some people out there who know that what I'm talking about.
Yeah, it's yeah. If I mean, yeah, there will be fake about anything. It's like it's pretty cool. I mean, I love it.
Yeah. It really makes me laugh to think about right now. It was a really serious story. I shouldn't be laughing.
Okay.
No, but that's like the magic of it. Like someone can sell you something and mm-hmm. it's like completely off the rails. Just very charming.
Mm-hmm. And what type of ship is the one that we're talking about today?
The ship today is Kirishima Eijiro and Bakugo Katsuki from the series My Hero Academia. Mm-hmm. It's also known as Boku no Hero if you want to be mm-hmm. A weeb nerd. But I just call it Hero Academia for short mm-hmm. because Hiroaka.
Yes, I already talked about this show in a previous episode, but that was Bakugo Katsuki with what was his name?
Midoriya Izuku. Or Deku.
Yes, exactly. In my head, I just like, oh, I just called him Bakudeku. That one I can't remember. Yeah.
It's so good. Like it's also just like such a it's a cute name because it has meaning for the characters, mm-hmm. the deck name. So I think that's really cute. I'm also into that ship. Not as strong. Like I think Kiribaku has like really taken me. Mm-hmm. So that may be my OTP. Like as in I don't indulge in other ships really hard, mm-hmm. but I really think Bakudeku has some strange appeal because yeah, it's just you know.
Yeah, but maybe before we get into the details about the ship. People who don't know the show and haven't listened to the previous episode, can you maybe give like a very short summary what it's about? Who are these people?
it's kind of like an X-Men sort of world where they discover, kind of late in the, I don't know, in the century, they discover that you can, people have powers. Mm-hmm. And then they start discovering more and more powers, more and more variation of powers. It's completely based on the superhero genre, mm-hmm. which is very appealing to Westerners. So I see the success of it. And then the story itself is that one character is born without powers, but he so badly wants to be a hero. So he's like very hurt by this.
Yeah.
And he accidentally runs into his hero, which is also just like a national hero of the world they live in, which is like sort of Tokyo, or sort of Japan, mm-hmm. with like some fantasy cities that are, and then they, he meets him by accident and shows himself to be heroic. And this guy he looks up to called All Might, sorry, I forgot mm-hmm. to tell you his name. He takes him in as an apprentice and shows him that he can actually transfer his powers to this young man, and he feels like he deserves a chance at doing that. So he gets his powers, and then the meat of the story starts when he starts school at this place called UA, where he meets his childhood friend there as well, who's like an insanely talented boy. That's where the Bakudeku ship comes mm-hmm. from. And then it's just like him trying to go through school while these villains keep attacking the school and the kids for almost inexplicable reasons. So it's a massive cast. I could talk all day of just the classroom, mm-hmm. but it's a massive cast and lots of lore and lots of arcs, like many, many shonen series do.
Yeah.
Oh, should I explain what a shonen series is?
Yeah, why not?
It's that most popular genre of Japanese comics and TV shows that are mostly aimed at boys but mm-hmm. are frequented by everyone. Like I'm 30 now and I still read certain shonen series mm-hmm. if they appeal to me. So
yeah, that's... at least now I know that when with the last episode I got mixed up shonen and shonen-ai, two very different things.
Yes, shonen ai is the gay one, basically, and it's not necessarily a much used word anymore, because I think the Japanese also have adopted the word BL, boys love, but it's the same thing. Mm-hmm. It's this kind of more innocent love between boys. So shonen means boy, ai in Japanese means love. There you go.
So it's literally boys love.
Very literal, but I think Japanese people also like using foreign words a lot in strange contexts. So yeah, but yeah, shonen is the one that you go for stories and stuff. Shonen-ai is the
shit. And obviously the fact that it's shonen does not stop us fans and / fans from shipping.
Definitely. I would say if they're really good at marketing, if a show is really good at marketing, mm-hmm. They try to appeal to that fandom because it's odd. It's a strange like dichotomy. I'm not sure about how it is for everything, but it seems like they know they're really good at marketing their shows mm-hmm. to pretty much everyone, and usually don't mind that the female fans are shipping. I mean, they don't really show it, but they don't usually mind because it's still money, and it's like one of the few giant industries that actually think about the fact that female and queer fans will put money into something, so they don't complain if they like it or anything like that. I can't say like explicitly how far that goes, but that's kind of like a low-key impression I have of it as the years have gone by.
And so who is Kirishima Eijuru? Jesus, this is always so embarrassing. I have no idea how to pronounce all these names.
I can try and say them, but I'm not sure if they're 100% for real. It's Kirishima Eijiro mm-hmm. and Bakugo Katsuki. Mm-hmm. Or Katsuki. Yeah, Katsuki, sorry. Let's introduce Bakugo first because he's the meaty boy. He's the one that has the most. he is the main antagonist to the main character, Midoriya, because he used to be his childhood bully. Mm-hmm. They used to be childhood somewhat friends. Like, Katsuki was the leader because he has a really, really interesting power. He can explode things from his hands. Mm-hmm. And his name is a whole pun on that. Mm-hmm. We can go into that as well someday. But so he has this leadership role. He is like he's basically praised into thinking that he's the best because he is very intelligent, very good at his using his quirk, even at a very young age. They start from 4 or something. And then he starts off in UA with like a massive ego. But with a little bit of backstory with Deku, in the sense that Deku saved his life at one point. So he starts off the school with massive ego, but people know him for being kidnapped at one point. So he's a little bit sore about that, and he refuses to speak to Deku, even though they used to be friends, but he just bullied him in middle school really badly, actually. So much so that the author feels bad about some of the stuff he's written about them. Because he goes from telling the main character, which is really harsh, by the way, telling the main character to just go kill himself, like in a very unprovoked fight. And when I started reading it, I was just like, I cannot like this kid. No fucking way. What a bastard. So he goes through, so that's kind of like his starting point. He's aggressive, thinks he's the best, and no one can touch him. He wants to be number one. Deku might be the only person who like makes him react. Kirishima, on the other hand, is a ball of sunshine. And he is my personal favorite of the series. Actually, if we go back for a second, actually the reason I got into the show was because there's a guy in it that looks like a character from the swimming anime, Free. Fans of that would know there's like a blue-haired boy who called Rei Yugazaki, and my friend was like, there's a character in this other manga called Boku no Hero who looks exactly like your character. So I was like, okay, fine, I'll read it. And then I discovered that there was like a completely different character, which is Kirishima. And I completely fell for him. But he's basically, he comes in, almost immediately tries to be friends with Bakugo because he's generally just like a very friendly boy. And he admires strength and confidence, which Bakugo just like, I don't know, explodes out of his body. And so yeah, Kirishima comes off as like almost like a joke, but he has powers, which is he can harden his body. So it's just hardening, which is like, you know, good puns right there. But he's a strong kid, very, very friendly, and just like instantly wants to be friends with Bakugo. And the cute thing is, which is canon as well, is that Bakugo actually ends up accepting him at first, and then like they grow into an actual friendship where Kirishima doesn't like Bakugo like bully him, and Bakugo seems to like, that's his first friend experience in a more or less true way, like that isn't Deku, I would say, because he can't deal with Deku right now, and very, very cute. So that's like the basis of the relationship and what made me interested at first. I was like, this is cute and I love Kirishima and I hate Bakugo right now, kind of. And then as the story has progressed, they've grown together. They've helped each other. And Bakugo has also reflected. They spend a lot of time on Bakugo reflecting on his attitude, basically. Because the teachers and friends, like his classmates, are not afraid of him. Which is the funniest thing, because they also make fun of him, which he deserves sometimes. And teachers, like he actually listens to adults because he wants to be a good boy, technically. He has a foul mouth. Like even he talks so rude that the fan translations made it worse than he actually speaks, just to emphasize how bad it is in Japanese that he's this rude. I think he calls someone a fuck munch in the translation of it. It's very, very funny. But yeah, I hope that makes sense. Like, is there anything else around it that, like, because that's not the only reason I love them, but that's like, I don't know how far I can go with spoiling.
Spoil everything.
Well, shit, okay.
I'm interested in, does their relationship, how is it developed in canon, or is it mostly like off the page?
In canon, they don't do actually a lot of off-page stuff. I mean, at some point, Kirishima kind of impresses Bakugo the first time by being like, I'm really, like, I admire you, I want to be cool. Two, they kind of bond, and then Bakugo gets kidnapped again because he's very flashy and attracts the attention of some villain characters that are pretty great, actually. I think some of the designs of the villain characters are really worth checking out if you don't know. Mm-hmm. But they kidnap him because they saw him broadcast on this show where they were all doing a tournament of their powers and, like, fighting. And Bakugo wins that, mm-hmm. Much to his chagrin, because somebody else, like, lets him kind of win. So he's very, very angry about this. But he gives an impression of being a bad boy. So these villain characters are like, we should kidnap this child and maybe make him be a part of us. Oh. And then there's a whole heist where they try to save Bakugo, which is very cute. And I think it's very nice. Mm-hmm. But what makes it shippy as fuck is that it's mainly led by Kirishima wanting to save him. Because he's been a little bit attached to Bakugo already. So he goes, I have to save my friend. I'm a hero. Mm-hmm. I have to have responsibility. Two other characters are sympathetic to this as well, including Deku, because mm-hmm. Deku loves his friend, I guess. Like, I don't ship them as hard as Kiribaku, but there's a lot of affection from Deku.
You see where people are coming from.
Exactly. Oh, gosh. It's just because I still need more time for Bakugo to be nicer to Deku before fully on board. But at this point, he's just like, I want to help you save our friend. And then he tells Kirishima, because Deku is our main character. He's very observant. Mm-hmm. He takes a lot of notes. And one of the notes he took is that Bakugo really likes Kirishima. Mm-hmm. And he considers you equals. So you must be the one to reach out for him mm-hmm. when we try to save him. So there's this epic scene where four of the characters crash through, like, a battle scene where Bakugo is stuck, fly through the air. Kirishima reaches a hand out to Bakugo and, like, asks him to grab his hand. They grab hands and fly through the air. It's, you have to see it to believe it. It's kind of insane, mm-hmm. but it's based on this, like, line, because there's, like, this overarching story, which is like, you have to be the one because he trusts you. Aww. And, like, every fangirl just freaked the fuck out.
That is epic, yeah.
Yeah, it's a lot. And then because of that, after they save Bakugo, he goes through some more reflection, personal reflection, mm-hmm. blah, blah. After that, Kirishima, he actually ends up, like, tutoring Kirishima in, I think it was science and English or something. So there's, like, this really cute artwork mm-hmm. from the author where they're just sitting having a study date. And Bakugo's, like, screaming at Kirishima. It's so good. Again, like, their dynamic is appealing to me because Kirishima doesn't take shit from Bakugo. Mm-hmm. Like, he can talk all kinds of bullshit, but Kirishima does not, like, let himself be bullied by this rat man. That's me. So their dynamic is very explosive, but also very charming mm-hmm. because there's clearly affection, friendship there.
Yeah.
I think a lot of fans, this is where I'm a little bit pragmatic. I still consider them just friends in the canon, but a lot of people want it to be canon, and I'm not sure if a shonen series would ever do that.
Yeah.
So I'm just enjoying what's there. And then this is going to be a spoiler for the next season in the fall, mm-hmm. so I don't know if I should talk about this.
How many seasons are there?
There's four now. Oh, okay. The fourth one is coming in October. Mm-hmm. And the fourth season is going to cover Kirishima developing as a person, like developing his powers and stuff, because mm-hmm. they have some internships they have to go to. Kirishima ends up with two very lovely characters. I don't want to spoil them too much, so we'll just leave them aside. And then we find out that Kirishima also has, like, a backstory, which is basically that he has a lot of self-confidence issues, and you see clues of it in the manga, and I actually think the author didn't mean to do this at mm-hmm. first, because Kirishima got so popular, I think. he went a little bit deeper with him and mm-hmm. had, like, the storyline where he's, as a middle schooler, used to be very self-conscious. He didn't have use his powers very well, and kind of, like, sees someone else be a hero for real, like a classmate, a later classmate, who's a girl, by the way. She's mm-hmm. so amazing. But he kind of, like, sees her be just like his favorite hero, which means, like, heroic no matter the cost. Mm-hmm. And he has, like, an awakening, and he's like, oh, wait, maybe I do want to be a hero. And then he trains really hard and studies really hard, gets into one of the best schools I think he's number two under Bakugo, actually, in the Entrix exam or something. It's never talked about, but there's like a picture of it in the background.
Yeah.
Which made the fans go like, what?
Yes, of course.
So he goes through this phase in this part of the manga, in the upcoming anime. He goes through the phase of learning, like, all right, I should use this new confidence that I'm trying to show. So like when he was middle school, he also used to have like flat black hair. Mm-hmm. And then when he starts school, he has like red spiky hair. He looks completely insane. He looks like a demon, basically. He's very much a demon allegory character. And basically he gets into a fight with a very, very strong enemy that can punch things really good. And he's, you know, a defense kind of guy. He has hardening powers, and kind of like his power kind of evolves a little bit, but also he gets destroyed almost by this character. And one of the things that gets him through it is actually something Bakugo tells him, which is from the very beginning, from one of the very first scenes they have together. Mm-hmm. He says like, well, you were my sturdy horse in this scene, because like he was carrying Bakugo in like a fight or something. I don't know how to call it. It's like a training fight where you carry someone on your shoulders, mm-hmm. and someone else carries you. Like, anyway, it's hard to explain, but he calls back to that. Like, you told me you were powerful. Mm-hmm. So he has like this flashback of Bakugo telling him this before he starts this fight, and kind of pushes through it and is kind of loses and also wins. So the rest of this, like, so it's very, very cute how that works out. Mm-hmm. So he has a lot of like really, really rowdy, trying to be cool boy who also has a few issues with his own like abilities and manliness. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, that's the thing. He has like this catchphrase, which is just like, that's so manly. That's his way of saying that's so cool.
Yeah.
Like anyone. He also calls like female characters manly if he thinks they're cool. So he admires, like, he wants to like really be that kind of guy, mm-hmm. but he's still a baby. And I find it very charming.
Yeah.
So I think it's good that it's Bakugo who saves him mentally, at least, mm-hmm. in that scene.
And you already mentioned that some of the fandom would like them to be canon. So what's the fandom like?
The fandom is, I would say they're very active, mm-hmm. loud, in a good way. Mm-hmm. They probably have fights that I don't see because I'm so bad at like checking tags and discussions, because I feel a little bit bad about not contributing enough on my own, like my artwork, like more art or more opinions or whatever. Mm-hmm. So like, keep it down low. Also, a lot of them are a lot younger than me. Mm-hmm. So I kind of leave them in their own space. But there's a lot of things about Bakugo that makes a lot of like gay kids, or just at least also ace kids, really mm-hmm. like him, because he doesn't seem very interested in relationships, aside from Kirishima, I guess. He has like a lot of like gay boy potential, while Kirishima's obsession with being hard and like manliness and like tough guys, he even said it's like in his description that he likes tough guys. Mm-hmm. There's also a lot of like gay energy there, or bi energy in my opinion. But so there's like how do we explain it? Oh,
so is there a lot of like content being created for them?
Yes, all the time. I feel all the time. I can't say I know, but mm-hmm. it comes in waves as well. Like sometimes it dies down, but the Boku no Hero series is still ongoing. Mm-hmm. The manga is ongoing. It's the most popular manga in the West, I think.
Okay.
At least in the US. Mm-hmm. It's on the top list somewhere. One Piece and... Yeah, One Piece gets a lot of, like, credit. So, I mean, aside from that one.
Yeah.
It's one of the top most popular shows at all. It sells really well. So, yeah. So they keep doing merchandise, and, like, they've done mm-hmm. a lot of, like, really fucking cute merchandise for Kirishima and Bakugo, either as a couple, like as a set, mm-hmm. or just like very close. One of my personal favorites is they have like this these festival outfits for a summer festival, and Kirishima is wearing a coat over his shoulders. He's a very shirtless boy, so he's just wearing, he almost like his costume is shirtless, so he doesn't wear shirts a lot. And he has tough skin, so he doesn't care. Mm-hmm. But he has like this jacket over him in this picture, and then there's a description next to it, like, who gave him this jacket? Mm-hmm. Something like that. And then there's a picture of Bakugo in an apron, because he's a good cook in the canon storytelling. Mm-hmm. So he's has like this cooking, what do you call it? An apron on. Yeah. And there's flames on it, and it's the exact same flames as the stupid coat that someone has given Shima. And then in his little description, it says, where is his coat? Did he give it to some girl or something? It's just like super baity.
Yeah.
But it's one of my favorite outfits. Yeah, that's just the merch. And then there's like two side stories that kind of like also put them together as a set. Mm-hmm. One of them is the movie version of Boku no Hero, where mm-hmm. Bakugo, after winning this tournament, is invited to go to the U.S., to an island in the U.S., for a party thing. And he doesn't have a number two, so Kirishima invites himself and gets them matching suits, almost matching suits, sorry.
Couple outfits.
And the other one is like the ending of season 2 of Boku no Hero has like a fantasy element to it.
Yes.
That is based off of a drawing that the artist is called Horikoshi. Yeah, Horikoshi. And he did like one like illustration of them in fantasy mm-hmm. outfits. And then the anime crew made a beautiful ending theme. You could just write Boku no Hero fantasy ending or something.
Yeah.
Where Bakugo is riding a huge red dragon and it looks really cool. And we're like, where's Kirishima? And then at some point, one of the side story things is just like, Kirishima is the dragon.
Oh, okay.
Bakugo is riding. Because like Kirishima is in the official picture mm-hmm. as like this cute little guy with like some swords or whatever. But he isn't in the opening, and that's because apparently he's the fucking dragon ship.
Okay. Yeah.
I
see that that will be very easy for shippers to.
Yes. And one thing I would, I guess one thing for realism's sake, or at least for a realistic point of view, I do not think they will write them as a couple ever. I mean, I want to, and I hope they do. They can prove me wrong, whatever. I don't think they'll do it because it's a shonen series and there's not a lot of focus on romance, so whatever. But the things they're like giving us does not feel like straight out bait, but more like, look at these characters together, enjoy it, mm-hmm. which, you know, is kind of what I want anyways.
Yeah. And so do the fans, are they like common fanons or like tropes that are very popular?
Yeah, I would say so. There's a lot of like, well, the fantasy AU gave us a lot of like mm-hmm. barbarian Bakugo with like his really cool outfits. He's also shirtless and super muscular, so it's very appealing for people to draw. There's also a lot of AUs where they're just like in school or like alternate stories where they're older, because mm-hmm. like some of the fans are older and they don't want to like overlap too much with the younger fandom, so they age up the characters.
Yeah.
There's a lot of like fights about how what it means to age up characters and whatever, but since I quite like that they do that, I tend to also lean towards artwork or fan work, a lot of fan fiction like that.
Yeah.
When they are aged up, because then people can go full ham with some of the weird fantasies and kinks they have, and it won't be too weird. But I what was the other thing? There was another one. There's... I don't know how common it is, but I've also seen them like Demon Kirishima and like Kitsune Bakugo, because there's official art of Kirishima looking like a demon.
Okay.
This traditional look, which is like these little horns. Mm-hmm. He wears like a tiger-striped loincloth over his outfit. It's very, very Japanese type of demon. It's called an oni.
Yeah.
So he like specifically has looks that way, and then people often ship him with Bakugo either as a human or as some other kind of Japanese creature, which is typically a kitsune, because mm-hmm. Bakugo is like, he has the look of a good kitsune character.
Kitsune, that's the fox spirit, right?
Yes, a tricky fox spirit.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, or at least they're very intelligent, so
yeah,
I guess that fits. Also, they could do a lot of like size different stuff, mm-hmm. Especially if they age them up, because a lot of people like drawing Bakugo as kind of smaller than Kirishima, because it's implied that Kirishima will probably be huge. Also, it's like a superhero story, so a lot of characters are insanely muscular, mm-hmm. even at a young age. So I think there's a lot of like content with that.
Is the fandom like, excuse me, mostly on Tumblr or Twitter, or where do you find them?
I think it's pretty even. Mm-hmm. When I got into Boku no Hero, I was already mostly on Twitter. So that's where I've been hanging out the most. Mm-hmm. But I feel like if I go into, like, whenever I post my artwork, I have a Tumblr page specifically for just my art. I get a lot of like really, really nice response from mm-hmm. my Kirishima and Bakugo fan art there. I'm very grateful for that because I always get a little overwhelmed if I get like, I have a drawing of them that's very not serious. It's very, very stupid. But because it resonated with the fandom, it ended up having 7,000 notes.
Ooh, wow.
Which is insane.
Yeah.
Like I get stressed out as soon as it's like, as soon as it's like 10, I'm just like, oh, thank you. That's a lot of people. For this one, it's a drawing of Bakugo tricking Kirishima into getting close to his face, and he burps him straight in the ear. And what made people laugh so much about that is a lot of tag responses and just like comments have been, I do that to my significant other, and I'm just
okay.
Like, or like, I would do this too, or this is my kind of relationship, you know? Because I like going in and just like ruining some of the magic about them being like, oh, angsty or something. Because people are better at writing angst than I would ever be, or drawing it for that matter. So I really like making jokes. Mm-hmm.
So you do fan art, and do you also write?
No, I don't. I just write down ideas, mm-hmm. And then read a shitload of fan fiction because I can't write, so they scratch my itches.
Yeah. So is the AO3 tag very big?
I would say, yeah. I can check out how much there is actually right now because I'm curious. When I click the ship pairing Kirishima and Bakugo, mm-hmm. it says 8,951 works.
That's not bad. Mm-hmm. Out of how many? For their fandom?
Oh, that has to be a lot. Out of 60,660.
Well, okay.
I think another big chunk of that fandom would be, Bakudeku. Mm-hmm. Because why not? But another one would be Deku, the main character. Mm-hmm. And another boy who kind of like becomes friends with our main character in a very sweet way, called Todoroki. Mm-hmm. You may have seen him because he's very popular and he has like two colored hair and a huge scar on his face that makes him look like Zuko from Last Airbender. Mm-hmm. He is basically Zuko from Last Airbender.
Okay.
Daddy issues, fire powers. He's essentially a prince because he's a rich boy. Mm-hmm. It's the best.
So the fandom is firmly in Slash fans' hands?
Oh, yeah, they're really active. Bakugo has, like, even though, to me, Bakugo has, like, a lot of gay energy, he's also often shipped with the only girl that he seems to... Well, I mean, yeah, the only girl that he, like, seems to show respect for, like, any sort of, like, interaction with, who is... I think the main character is... supposed love interest, or she at least likes him.
Okay. Supposedly.
Yeah, I mean, she likes him, but the main character is a main character, so he's too dumb to completely get it. But she's a very, very cute girl called Uraraka. She's very feisty. Mm-hmm. She does not respect Bakugo because she knows like how like what kind of person he is, and a lot of people are like, that's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. So if they end up together, it's because Bakugo has to like fix his shit before she allows him to do anything. So I quite like that too. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people who I would expect it to ship him with the boy actually ship him with that girl.
Okay. And what type of fan work do you prefer? Like AU, canon based? What's your flavor?
Right now it's AUs because the canon already gives us a lot of like beats. Mm-hmm. So I like, I really do like the fantasy AU drawings because I think it's because I've been playing Breath of the Wild, so I really love those drawings of them out in the nature, enjoying themselves. Kirishima is a dragon because I like lizards. Like, Kirishima hits a lot of like spots for me because he has like weird eyes, sharp teeth, a good attitude, fun character to follow because he's also kind of a dumbass. So it's the fantasy AU right now that I really love, and him as a demon, and Bakugo like dealing with that.
Yeah, we can get into like concrete wrecks in a bit. So the next season is set to air in the fall.
Yes.
Yeah.
October, I think. October. Yeah, it's they have like a fall season that starts technically in October.
And does it still follow the manga, or is it something different?
It still follows the manga. It's actually kind of behind from the manga, but the cool thing is that it doesn't have fillers.
Mm-hmm.
So it takes a break. And it's animated by, okay, this is where my animator brain comes out. It's animated by Studio Bones, who also did a fantastic work on Full Metal Alchemist.
Mm-hmm.
If you've never seen that, please, please treat yourself. it's so amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And like some other really, really popular shows, like they also did the very, very popular Mob Psycho 100.
Mm-hmm.
So they have a really strong team on that. So I'm trust it's going to be just as good as the other ones. They have the money. So I'm looking forward to that. There's some characters there that's going to be introduced that I really, really love. And I kind of miss them because they're not main characters. Lots of Kirishima content for me, for my little soul.
Yes. Yeah, you already mentioned Dambi backstory.
Yes, for him specifically. But there's also a really, really cool arc for Bakugo because he has to get better. Like, he has to improve himself. And this arc also takes that kind of serious for him. It's very, very charming. Another thing with the fandom is that maybe it's because I saw just like how harsh Voltron went. I haven't actually seen a lot of people hating on shippers who like Bakugo and Kirishima. They usually don't get mad if somebody ships something else. I don't see that fighting a lot There's a lot of discussion about like why Bakugo should be with Deku the main character, because there's this conflict between them that seems very, very hard and.
Mm-hmm.
I can see why people won't like it. I'm a little bit in the middle. Like I want it to be better before I'm super into it.
Yeah.
And then but sometimes I've seen
there's no like bashing going on.
Sometimes, but mostly, I've seen people complain that Kiribaku shippers are too loud, and you know. But I feel like I see this a lot, so it's not so bad. But some people are like, oh god damn it, they're here again, or like. They're so annoying. They will never shut up. And I'm just like, well, this must offend them anyway. I don't know. It's just like one of those small complaints. But for Kirishima Bakugo, I often see people just like tired of seeing, if they're not interested, they're tired of seeing it as a ship. And not so much like, you can't ship this because I don't like it. It's more like, god damn it, you guys are loud.
Yeah, shall we move to the wrecks?
Yes. I have read so many, so if I get one wrong or mix them up, I'm so sorry. But so one of them is called Two Absolute Favorites. And I wrote... Oh, I actually forgot to put another one in, but whatever. There's one called, I called it Honorable Mention because it's so popular that maybe I kind of wanted to find something else, but it also counts as a favorite.
Yes.
There's one called Love, Quote Love Unquote, which is an AU story where Bakugo is an actor and Kirishima is a singer, upcoming singer who gets like paired up with him as like a fake love story. So,
that's always a good trope.
Yes. So it's a fake dating story where the author is like ridiculously good at writing Bakugo's voice. Mm-hmm. I would say she does not, or they, I'm going to say they.
Yeah.
They don't shy away from the fact that Bakugo is a very complicated boy and he can be very toxic. And one of my favorite things about the ship is that is them going through trying to deal with, like, Bakugo can't be this mean all the time,
mm-hmm.
and Kirishima can't push him all the time because Kirishima is very strong and pushy, so that could be too much for Bakugo, who can lash out.
Mm-hmm.
That's typically how the stories go anyway.
Yeah.
But like, who will lash out and then Kirishima will maybe like either misunderstand the situation or feel rejected, and then they resolve that, and that happens mm-hmm. a lot in these ships.
Mm-hmm.
Specifically for this, or the ones that I find that I like the best, and also maybe like a thing I generally like.
Yeah.
It's just that them growing into something mm-hmm. better together than just nothing.
Yeah.
So that was Quote Love Unquote mm-hmm. by New Amsterdam, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I also did a fan art for them.
Where,
so I don't know if I should send a link to that. But it was specifically
just,
for them.
That's just a proof of love, isn't it?
Sorry. Yes.
Yeah.
They wrote a little joke about the ship. Mm-hmm. Like they found a little meme on their story, and I thought it was so fucking funny. So I drew a mini comic. Of just basically Kirishima trolling Bakugo as his boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I like them trolling each other because
yes.
they're absolutely not mature. The second one is called Six Page Spread, which mm-hmm. is actually kind of in the same, I don't know why I put it there, but it's yeah. kind of the same idea. It's
because
like,
that's obviously what you like.
Yeah, apparently. this one is a little bit more pining,
mm-hmm.
Where they don't fake date, but Kirishima is like clearly in love with Bakugo,
mm-hmm.
And vice versa. And instead of superheroes, I think they are Bakugo is they're both models.
Oh.
Wait, there's something with models. I feel so bad because this one is the one I've recommended to most people. But
there are these that you just say, like, if you like this, duh. Then
definitely.
You would like the ship, so.
Six page spread, and yeah, it's just like someone was like, what are you reading right now that you really love? And I was just like, this one. Also, fair warning, Six Page Spread is not finished yet, so
okay.
If you don't like that, Quote Love Unquote is mm-hmm. it's kind of legendary at this point, I guess. So
mm-hmm. I guess it's one of these, but there's a reason why it's so popular, because it's good.
Yeah. And also, like, only if you like the alternate universe ones, because
yeah.
those are the ones I've been checking out.
Yeah. Do you also have canon-based recommendations?
Yes, there's one called My First One and Only, which I think just kind of takes place in their... Oh, it must have been... Like, takes place in the school, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just that... I think... I'm not sure if the author meant to start out like for fun or not, but it's almost starts out like as a joke where Kirishima kind of just confesses to Bakugo. Bakugo is like, yeah, I'm in, because like the rest of the story is just them discovering each other as boyfriends.
Okay.
And having a lot of like interactions and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also almost fully illustrated by one of the artists that I will recommend later, because
mm-hmm.
they just have a lot of consistent artwork, so I think that's cute.
Yeah.
Also, they focus a little bit, like some of the romance stuff, like some of the stuff between Bakugo and Kirishima is like based on their powers as well, because
mm-hmm.
they like, there's a nice little arc that I think is very funny, is just that Kirishima's teeth are too sharp, so when they kiss it's a little bit ridiculous. I just think it's very sweet, because like I really like Kirishima's teeth, I love drawing them, it's fun for me, but it must be a challenge to kiss that boy. The other canon-based one is called Broken Bridges. It's just when they were there older,
mm-hmm.
And have broken up, or at least stopped being friends.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that's the one. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I just kind of like how the story tells, like, the story develops on both of their powers and, like, what they do as heroes. Mm-hmm. Because the whole series is about these characters going through, X-Men school.
Yeah.
To become superheroes with licenses and everything. So mm-hmm. they have to work for agencies, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
If you like that kind of stuff, Tiger and Bunny is also pretty good. But yes, those are the canon-based ones mm-hmm. that I recall.
But
I have
a
lot more.
You mostly read AUs right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But these two are canon-based.
Mm-hmm.
And I love them, and I think people should check them out if they haven't already. I have a feeling a lot of these are already, like, checked out, but for new fans, these are definitely fun.
Mm-hmm.
Favorite AUs is the next one, I think.
Yeah.
It's called The Beauty of a Beast, and it's a Beauty and Beast AU story.
That must. Every fandom needs at least one of these.
Yep, and instead of a beast, like, often it's easy to make, I feel like the other ones with where this is a joke, it's kind of Bakugo who is the beast because mm-hmm. he's such a loud gremlin of a boy. Mm-hmm. I really enjoy this character. There's so many good drawings of him, like canonically, of just being a slouching little bastard. So I can see how that works out. But in this case, Kirishima is a dragon shifter, I think. So Bakugo is the beauty mm-hmm. in this story. They get to know each other and fall in love. It's very cute.
Mm-hmm.
The other one is Partners, which is one of my favorite Dragon AU stories.
Mm-hmm. So is that based on that fantasy sequence?
Yes.
Yeah,
yeah, it's that world.
Mm-hmm.
Let me just try and open mm-hmm. Partners. There's like a detail in there I need to check, because there's another one that's very similar. I love it. I love them both, but I'm recommending this one specifically because it's a... it has a better chance of finishing.
Ah, okay. It's another ongoing one.
It's an ongoing one and mm-hmm. has a better chance at finishing. Or at least if it never does, there's so much nice content that it's fun to follow.
Yeah.
But it's basically one where Bakugo saves... Like, sorry, where Bakugo tries to prove himself as a dragon hunter. Or sorry, a beast hunter, but he's also supposed to pair up with a dragon from his culture.
Okay.
But he never finds one. And then in this story, he runs into, like, he leaves his kingdom. Yeah, the story is that he leaves his kingdom in anger
mm-hmm.
and becomes a beast hunter, slaying various beasts and dragons for towns. And then he gets asked to stop this one kind of scraggly looking dragon in some mountains. Mm-hmm. And then he runs into, like, Kirishima, and they end up kind of teaming up instead.
Mm-hmm.
And then the rest of the story is, like, them traveling to maybe save Kirishima from something. Mm-hmm. And then Bakugo finding himself, because he left his entire, like, culture.
So yeah.
He's trying to reconnect with that. It's very, very lovely. Very traumatic as well, like, sad and stuff. It's just so... It sells it so good.
Mm-hmm.
And then two authors that I read everything from.
Yeah.
I would say I have not been very consistent with checking authors for this fandom.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to go way back to one of my very first fanfictions that was, like, by someone called Sodagum.
Mm-hmm.
They wrote one called Dulcet or Dulcet. I'm not sure which one, how to pronounce this. But it was one of my very first Kiribaku fanfictions, mm-hmm. and it's literally just a short story of them smooching. It's just very, very beautiful. And then they wrote a few other short stories that are just kind of in the same
mm-hmm.
short story. And also they're complete, which is nice.
Yes.
And then Ecstasy is a different artist. It's Ecstasy with like as an egg.
Mm-hmm.
They wrote like a just... I think I've read several of theirs, but the best one to start with is the one where it's right after Bakugo comes back from being kidnapped. He mm-hmm. has, like, some issues, which the manga doesn't really go deep into, so a lot of fans go deeper, which is awesome, because mm-hmm. that's exactly what fanfiction is for.
Mm-hmm.
They go deeper, and, like, Kirishima and Bakugo kind of go on a vacation with some friends, and work things out, I guess.
Nice.
They're already dating at the start of this one.
Yeah.
So and you, just
you already said that there's also lots of fan art being done.
Yes.
Yes. Do you have like special recommendations for that?
Yes.
In a video, of course.
Well, I mean, if you like silly, the occasional silly drawing of Kirishima and Bakugo or my weird little like indulgent drawings of them as AUs, you're welcome to check my art out. But I decided to recommend two people instead because that's more fun for me because there's too many drawings.
Yeah.
Some of them are hard to find. But I took my friend Buko, who write Bukomic, who is known as Bike Ride to Hell. So you can guess I... For some of the fans, it's because we got we became friends through the cycling anime. But she really, or no, it's they actually, right? No, not right, but draw like really really intimate, very very cute Kiribaku artwork, very kissy and pouty faces. Very funny jokes, and sometimes they draw really good drawings of trans Kirishima, the trans Bakugo, or trans Kirishima, or just straight up bending them. It's very interesting. I just like everything that goes on there.
Yeah.
I really like it. And then the other one is Queen of Lizards, who I mentioned before for drawing for my first one and only. They're really into Ninja Turtles right now. But if you dig a little deeper... I mean, I enjoy the turtle stuff, so that's great. But if you dig a little deeper, you'll find their collection of Kirishima and Bakugo fan arts. They also have some very fun alternate versions of them. Sorry, older versions of them, where like, again, like many fans, Kirishima is drawn like a brick shit house. It's awesome. It's really funny. But it's just as sunny in the face as anything. So there's those two. And then there's one fan art that I just wanted to shout out to, which is Kirishima and Bakugo drawn together with another pairing from a different, like a horror series, where the girl in the series, one of the girls in that series is like this muscular, huge titty woman who I'm in love with. So this person drew Kirishima like squished against her. And he's so happy, and I've never seen any fan art that made me so happy in my life. I can't find it right now, but he's like really close to her chest because she's so tall. And he's just like completely like, oh God, which I think would be very canon reaction because I think he really likes tough people. So that was just some Japanese fan artist. I can't really find them right now, but I always remember that one. And the Bakugo was just in the background looking at it, just going like, why?
Yeah, there's some art. Sometimes art just leaves an impression.
Yeah.
And are there gifts that you particularly like?
I did really, really enjoy those gifts of them holding hands because the manga did it its own way and it was very beautiful and like impactful.
Yeah.
And then the anime went complete like, well, animation freak out. So there's like moving backgrounds that are hand drawn. Like it's everything like that I enjoy. And then on top of that, my two favorite characters get to hold hands.
Ah.
And like they even made an extra detail of Bakugo squeezing Kirishima's hand a little bit. You can Google it. It's very good. But he squeezes Kirishima's hand as well because he's like acknowledging him extra. And I'm just like, thanks for the food.
I don't know, do you have anything else about that you would like to share about this fandom or ship?
No, I'm just happy that there's so much content and I can't wait for more because this fall it's going to go insane again. The animation is very interesting. I'm just excited for more because I'm not done with them yet.
Yes.
But in the meantime, I'm going to stay in the Good Omens hole for a little bit. Hopefully my followers and friends will
appreciate me. You and all of the internet, including myself.
But yes, just like I'm just very happy with the ship. I like their names. I like their their dynamics. It's just the manga itself is very interesting, like the storyline. So even if you're not into this ship specifically, I would still recommend the series because it's good on its own, on its own merit, has a lot of entertainment value.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it.
So where can people find you online?
Currently, it's just Zerazukin on Twitter. And if you want to see just my art, it's easiest to go through the pinned tweet there or my Tumblr art page, which is Zerachu, like Zera and Chu, like a kiss. Yeah, that's those are the main ones. And then there's like in Zerachu, there's a link to my Tumblr page, but I really am not good at being active there anymore. So Twitter, if you want to watch me scream in real time, and Tumblr, if you want me to want to see my art or my shit posts.
Yeah, great.
That's the best way to describe it.
That's shit posts. Yeah, well, that's what Tumblr is for, isn't it?
Yes. Also, for younger fans, I do post some, like maybe some horror themes or maybe some gory stuff, but I haven't made like a side for older fans, so I'll keep that on the down low for the most part. But fair warning, there might be some little not safe for work things here and there, because I am an adult on the internet.
Yes, and I create your own internet experience, young people.
Yes. No, but there's like because Boku no Hero is a children's series or a young teen series. A lot of people are fairly young.
I have marked this podcast as explicit. So if you're underage, what are you doing listening to this?
Oh, you bad kids.
Yeah, no, no, you can listen to whatever you want to, but just be aware that, yeah, there might be adult content about.
They're cool babies.
Cool babies. To take
Clint McElroy to the rest of you. thank you for having me. This was so fun.
Yeah, I had lots of fun as well. It was I really enjoy revisiting fandoms because it gives me a whole new perspective. It's really funny because it's happened 3 times right now, and it's always been a ship that was already like where one character was already part of the previous ship.
Oh,
so that gives a really really interesting perspective.
I'm glad I got invited for Kirishima Bakugo because I'm trying to think of other ships that I've been obsessing over this hard, and it's getting a little thin right now.
Well, so that was good then. This is, after all, this is the podcast to talk about like the one that ate your brain. So,
hell yeah.
So, thank you again. I took a trip on a great big ship to a land across the sea. To a land across the sea, the sea, the sea, the sea. This wraps up the 17th episode. As always, if you want to further explore this week's ship, check out the show notes on shippingcast.fandomish.net. That's fandomish.net. I apologize if the editing of this episode was a bit rough. I've had to switch meds, which is always a bitch, if you pardon my French. The next regular episode will be released on August 2nd, and I'll be talking to Bucket about Arthur and Eames from Christopher Nolan's Inception. As always, the episode will be released sooner for Patreon supporters, but even better, I'm also planning my second special episode. Last weekend, on July 13th and 14th, I was at the 3rd Italian Institute Convention in Milan, a Shadowhunters con, where I spent time not just fangirling over my favorites, Dominic Sherwood and Matthew Daddario, as well as the other actors present, but also very much enjoyed hanging out with some of the awesome ladies from Jalek Squad. I took this opportunity to sit down with them and talk about on- and off-screen chemistry and the hot-button topic of real-person shipping. If that sounds like something you might enjoy listening to, become a Patreon supporter now at the first mate tier or above. You'd not only get extra content, you would also help me finance a proper microphone, which you might be able to tell I really, really need. Just go to patreon.com/shippingcast to sign up. If you want to support the podcast in other ways, there's also the option to send me a one-time donation on ko-fi.com/shirazade or via PayPal to webmistress@shirazade.net. All these options are described on shippingcast.fandomish.net/support.
And you can help me totally for free by leaving reviews or simply spreading the word to other fans. I'd love you forever. You can follow and get in touch on Tumblr as ShippingCast, on Twitter as Shipping_cast, and you can email the podcast on theshippingcast@fandomish.net. I'd love to hear from you. Let me know what you think of the podcast and the ships we've been covering. You can find the podcast wherever podcasts are found. A full list is on shippingcast@fandomish.net/subscribe. I'm Shirazade, spelled Shirasade, and you can find me as such on Tumblr, AO3, YouTube, Pillowfort, Dreamwidth, and on Shirazade.net. I've also joined Mastodon as Shirazade@fandom.inc. The podcast artwork was created by the wonderful Little Zion. The music is Sailor Song by the Peerless Quartet. Thanks so much for listening, and remember, you are the captain of your ship.